Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
I believe that church is the best party every single week of my life. Like, I really believe. So I'm going to tell you a little bit of my story tonight, but before I get into it, like when I became a Christian, I remember the first thought that popped in my brain was, oh, now I'm a Christian, I'm going to have to become boring in life. Because every Christian I knew was like boring, you know, flannel graphs, cinder block walls, eating animal crackers in Sunday school. Like, that's what I knew from Christians growing up. And I remember thinking, oh, now I have to be like these other people. And I remember God speaking to me. He was like, Doug, where did you ever learn that bad doctrine that you've got to become boring when you become a child of God? And I was like, I don't know. That's what I've ever seen. And he says, no, get in your Bible in Luke chapter 15. It says that when one lost sinner comes home, all of heaven throws a party. Some of you are like, King James says rejoices. My friend, that's a party. And then it hit me that I used to party to forget all of my pain, all of my problems, all of my situations. And then Jesus showed up in my life, and now I party to remember how good he's been to me. So some of y'all come to church for a funeral service. I come to church for a party. I come to church to remind the enemy that on your best day, you couldn't take me out on my worst day. Do I have anybody in the house of God who's got a testimony that the enemy tried to destroy what God was building, but you said, no, I don't belong to you, I belong to him. And the problem is, if you're picking a fight with me, you're actually picking a fight with him, and you don't want to pick a fight with him, my guy. And I just feel like there's too many times in our Christian faith where we forget that we've already won, and that God is on the throne, and even through tough times, he's not looking for you to cry about it, even though there are moments where you might be sad, but then you got to remember, who do I put my hope in? See, David, in his worst moment, said, remind my soul whose my hope is in. It's not in my circumstances. It's not in my chariots. It's in God. And sometimes we got to remind ourselves, put your hope in God. All right, God bless you. I'm done tonight. I'll see y'all later. But no, to be honest with you, if you don't know my story, and I tend to always share it because I think that the Bible says that you overcome the enemy, help me somebody, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your... Oh, man, we got some Bible college students in here. See, some of y'all forget that, yes, Jesus paid for it with his blood, but also you remind the enemy of his defeat with your testimony. So, you know, my mom, she found out she was pregnant with me when she was 16 years old in 1984. You know, that was before they had those MTV Teen Mom shows, right? That's before it was acceptable in culture for a young woman to have that. And I'm not agreeing with it. It was sin. It was wrong. But isn't it like God to take mistakes and turn into miracles? And so she has this moment. And my grandfather was the elder of the local Little Assemblies of God church. Can somebody say that's a problem? And he actually said, hey, to my mother, you need to fix this mistake that is growing in the inside of you. You can come to your own conclusion what that means. Because sometimes when life gets hard, we make bad choices and we realize where we put our trust. And I love the fact that God still loves us, not judges us, and invites us to mercy when we still mess up. And so he's in this situation, she's in this situation, she goes up to her bedroom and she cries to a God that she encountered in Sunday school. And I gotta tell you, if you serve with our kids ministry, I'm so deeply grateful for you. Because you don't know the seeds that you plant in those children's hearts, that when they need God the most, they cry out to a God who they encountered in a kid's church. Please remind yourself that the seed of the righteous is not in void, and that God does not start a thing that he will not finish. And if it ain't good, God ain't done just yet. Can I get a yes? I need to preach a white boy from somebody in his house. Thank you. Don't you get fooled by this Walmart version of Conor McGregor. I will come after you right now. Thank you. You're about to get Timu McGregor out in this piece real quick. Y'all don't even know. So my mother goes up to, I gotta stay on track. My mother goes upstairs. She cries out to a God that she meets in Sunday school. And she said for the first time, she ever heard. She felt like God spoke to her in this way that was so deep inside of her soul. And it said, Lisa, if you give me this mistake, I'll turn it into a miracle. And so she said, I'm gonna raise this child. I'm gonna do everything I can. I'm gonna grow up. She said, people thought my life was ruined when I had you. It's actually what made my life have purpose for the first time. And I grew up. She raised me, did the best she could, but I was still a hellion. Can I get an amen from somebody? Because we still sometimes act a fool and God's got to redeem us. And so what's crazy is when I was about 18 years old, I got curious about my biological father. I wanted to learn who he was, and I never met him, didn't know anyone from that side of my family. And so I reach out to, I actually find my maternal grandmother who I never met, and I get on the phone with her. And she tried to give me grace for my father who didn't raise me by giving me excuses for why he didn't raise me. It's another topic we're not gonna get into tonight. But in it, she says, listen, he didn't have a father, so he didn't know how to be a father. Then she says that actually his father didn't know his father. I realized in that moment that I was three generations of fatherless men. The devil is in the business of generational curses, if you're not aware of this. But see, there came a moment, I'm gonna tell you how it happened, where I stepped in with Jesus and I surrendered my life to him, and my history on this planet changed to an eternal history. And God, who redeems all things and makes it new, said, okay, now that generational curse stops, and wouldn't it be God to give me three boys to represent three generations broken by the power of Jesus? And my three sons will never have to know what it's like to have a father who does not love them on this side of eternity, because God makes all things new. And somebody here's got to hear this, that your mistake is not greater than the mercy he wants to give you tonight. And you might think what you're dealing with is too big. It is something that God would laugh at in his hands. And not laugh at you, but laugh at that situation, saying, you don't think I can do all things, including your situation? The God of the Bible is not the God for someone else. He's the God for you. And I want to invite you today to this idea of a transformational gospel. A gospel that is not transactional, where you just simply do the right things, put them into a formula, hit the button, and you hope everything works out, but you actually get to go on a journey that even though you cannot always do the right thing all the time, there is a God who loves you in spite of you so very much that he will transform you, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. And that people will meet you and say, what is different about this person? There is no greater church marketing on the planet than a life that has been transformed by the power of Jesus. There is no billboard, there is no marketing, there is no social media post that can exchange from the power of somebody knowing you one way and yet God showing up and you becoming someone totally different. To have the fruit of the Spirit, to be transformed, to be kind, to be someone who's an encourager, to be someone that when people see you, they go, I just can't seem to wrap myself around this. You know, so when I was 18 and I was curious about my dad, I was also struggling with the fact that I was not going on a good journey in life. My class voted as a class in our school for everyone to get different awards at the end of the year assembly. And they're like, most likely to be president, most likely to be a movie star, most likely to be an athlete, most likely, it gets to this one, most likely to end up in jail. And everybody's like, ah, and it's like, Doug Gerasik. And they all laughed, and I was like, I don't, and they're clapping, and I'm like half clapping, and I'm like, I don't think this is a good thing to win. I'm not sure if this is good. And I remember I sat back and I was like, is that what people think about me? That I'm about to go to jail someday in my life? And it hit me that my life was not going in the direction that it should go. And I remember I get kicked out of public school. That's another story. And I'm in this private little Christian school that I end up in my senior year because my mother, who I love her to death for this, she said to me, you got yourself in this mess, boy. You got to figure out how to get yourself out of this mess. And she says, so I start calling private schools trying to get in. I end up getting in this private Christian school. And I'm interviewing with the principal. And she goes, tell me about your relationship with Jesus. And I'm like, and I don't have any relationship with Jesus. And I'm like, he's awesome. Praise God. do I do this at some point? I didn't know. I was just like trying to get through. I was trying to pass the exam. And she's like, but I play two sports. And she's like, well, we have an athletic scholarship. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. And I end up going to this Christian private school that you're supposed to be a Christian to get into. And I'm in there and I meet this girl at this Christian private school. And I'm like, wow, she's really cute. I like this girl. Like, and she goes, well, I only date boys who are Christians. And of course I continue my lying ways because I'm not yet redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And I'm like, well, I am a Christian. She's like, oh, really? She's like, what church do you go to? And this is my game at that point. I said, what church do you go to? See what I'm doing here? She goes, oh, I go to this church over here, and I go to their youth ministry on Wednesday nights. I go, I go to that same church. I didn't even know where this church was. And she's like, really? I go, yeah, why don't we go to youth ministry on Wednesday night? We'll go get ice cream afterwards. It'll be a little date. I didn't do the kiss part. That would have been weird. But in my head, I did the kiss part. That would have made it really cringy for everybody. And so then she's like, cool, we'll go. And so we end up going to this youth ministry. And this is why I love churches like The Rock so much, because it reminds me of what God did for me so many years ago. It had a youth ministry that wasn't just like an after-school babysitting program, but it was an intentional service to reach young people right where they are. And I come walking in, and at that time, and I'm dating myself here a little bit, they had the lights, they had the energy, they had the smoke machines. The youth pastor got up, he had a barbed wire tattoo on his arm. I'm like, ooh, like that was cool back then. He had an Abercrombie t-shirt and frosted tips on his hair. Come on. And I was like, who's this guy? Muscular. And he gets up there, and he begins to talk about Jesus in a way that actually made sense to my brain. And I was like, wow, this is interesting. And so I forgot about this girl. I moved on from her. And next week I came back. And the next week I came back. 6 weeks I came back and listened from the back row to this guy talk about Jesus. About 100, 150 students in the room. And I just would listen and listen. And then he does the, I want everyone to bow their head and close their eye. If you're not here and you don't know Jesus and you want to meet him, I want you to raise your hand. And I remember my hand, my heart was pounding, and my hand felt like it was 1,000,000 pounds. And I was like, oh, man, I really don't want to do this, but I do want to do this. I don't know. He goes, that's you. I just want you to raise your hand. And I remember I just raised my hand like this. I'm just holding my hand up in the air. And he goes, okay, if your hand's raised in the air, I want you to take one more bold step. I want you to stand up to your feet. So I'm like, man, my legs are like, and I'm like, I stand up to my feet. All heads are bowed. He goes, I'm going to ask you to be even bolder right now. And I'm going to be down front. And I want you to meet me down front. And I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, are you really my Lord? Help me, God. And I start making my way down front. I'm like, excuse me. And I start walking down the front. And I learned a secret about church people that day. Y'all peek during the altar call. You laughing because you know it's true. And I look, I'm the only person coming down front, and everybody's looking at me coming down front. And I remember I get to the front, and all I know is the movie Home Alone where Macaulay Culkin knelt down at the front. That's all the church I know. So I knelt down at the front by myself, everyone looking. And I just was like, God, please make me a birdie so I can fly far, far away. Please, God, get me out of here. And I'll never forget, I feel the shadow. I see the shadow of him, of this man, and his arm go around me. And I'll never forget for the rest of my life the tears I saw hitting the carpet that were not my tears, but they're the youth pastor's tears. And he says, Doug, I've been praying for you since I met you 6 weeks ago. And I believe that God is about to write a new story in your life, and you're going to change your world, kid. And I just got to tell you something. I don't know if I'm going to change the world, but I'm going to try to change your life. And I'm going to tell you this. Never despise the day of just one lost sinner coming home to Christ. It is a bad metric to say, well, just one person responded to that altar call. You don't know that one person that responded to that altar call. It changed their life. And so then I started getting discipled by him. I started learning. I started growing. And something that really bothered me for years as I've been in ministry is why has so many hands been lifted and so many people honestly in their hearts said, God, I want to encounter you. But yet somehow they've not been transformed by the power of the gospel. See, I'm not just in it for the hand raising, even though I do believe you got to take that first step of surrender. But if that's as far as we go, is the gospel really at power in our lives? If it's just a hand raise and I go back to my regularly scheduled program, this might be a waste of all of our time. But what if that hand raise is an invitation for transformation? What if God is interested in transforming you, not just getting you to repeat a prayer? And I want to look at this in Matthew chapter 28. The last thing Jesus said, this is what he's saying to all of us. He says it like this. Now, I have been giving you all authority on heaven and earth. Verse 19. Therefore, go and make what?
Disciples.
Make what?
Disciples.
Disciples. Not just churchgoers. Not just good pew sitters. Not just people that act nice. But people who are now the disciplined ones to Jesus. People that are saying, it's not about my ways, but about his ways in my life. And I'm telling you, we're missing the plot if it's just about growing a church. We're missing the whole thing if it's just about a numbers game and we feel good with our egos about how big something gets. It's about how big can we make Jesus inside of each individual person that we encounter. And am I willing to be used by God as one of the disciplined ones to help others? Because it continues to say, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey what? All the things that I have commanded and I have given to you. And know this, I will be with you. I will be with you when you do this all the way to the end. It is not just Jesus is with you because he loves you. He loves the entire world that he gave his life for. He's with those who are willing to be the disciplined ones and to be on mission with their lives. Some of us, I'm here to tell you, your Christianity is boring and you're looking for more things to entertain you. You need to learn how to disciple somebody. Because it's not boring when you're giving it away to someone else. It's not boring and you're like, well, I like this song better. I like when Pastor Dan does this and I prefer Pastor Justin to do this. And I want, that is you being bored with your faith journey. Versus saying, who is broken around me that God has been so kind to bring into my life that I can pour myself out to with them? All of a sudden, it's not boring anymore. It's pretty messy, but it's not boring anymore. And what if a church, what if this church, could find a place in their soul where we say, we care so much about the lost that it's not just about a yes, that's such a great first step. But then we realize that all those brand new babies need moms and dads to raise them. All those brand new babies that are coming to Jesus, what an invitation. The biggest fear I have for today's church is that we become really good at being an orphanage, not a family. That we become an orphanage where there's a few adults who are running the program and everyone else is just doing their own thing and it's a bunch of babies everywhere. Versus, wait a minute, we're the family of God and now God is allowing me to adopt another son, another daughter, another son, another daughter. I don't know about you, I don't know how many kids you have. I always thought after every one of my kids, I'd run out of love for the next kid. Like the next one, I'm like, I'm not gonna love this one as much as I love the last one. Can I be real with you? They're not watching. They're already in bed. It's East Coast. When my wife told me she'd pregnant with our last one, I had to go to a dark place for a little bit. Because I was like, Lord, we're done with children. We've already had two. We're good. We got a perfect little set. And she was like, I was preaching at a church somewhere else, and it was Father's Day. And she goes, hey, we're on the phone. I'm about to fly home to see her. She goes, you want your Father's Day present? I said, oh, baby, I can't get that till later tonight. You wild girl. Get out of here. Stop playing with me. Oh, I'm the only one to act like that with my wife? Okay, cool. Thanks for judging me. And she's like, hi, you got jokes. I'm pregnant. And all of a sudden, the whole room spun. And I heard that song, hello, darkness, my old friend. I was a mess. She knew I needed a flight to recalibrate before I got home. But my point is, I thought, there's no way I can love this little rugrat that comes out. And the moment he came out, I said, oh my goodness, my heart just grew more. Yeah. You don't think you got capacity to disciple young baby Christians? Your heart is gonna grow so much more. You're gonna be so grateful that God gives you these kids. The gospel is not transactional, it is transformational. The gospel is not transactional, it is transformational. And here's something, as I got really fascinated with why did God do such a thing with my life, and I just started asking the Lord, I started reading some things, I started getting into even some monks from the 16th century about transformational power of the gospel, and I really got fascinated with like, what are some of the things that maybe if we begin to practice, maybe if we begin to put into our lifestyle, it doesn't mean it's automatically gonna create transformation, but what if it puts me into the stream that transformation can come and take me? Like, what if there's some things that I've gotta work through? You know, James talks about if there's not work in my faith, that faith is what? It's dead faith. So what if there's some things I got to start doing on my end and it puts God in a position to make transformation happen on his end? And so I just got really fascinated with that. And there was five things that I realized very quickly that if you practice these things in a daily posture, in a daily rhythm, I believe you position yourself for the transformational power of the gospel to take place. And I'm going to give you a caveat. For each one of these, if you only focus on that area, you might become a Pharisee in that area. You actually might become the person that judges people based on you're so elitist in that area, and if others aren't, you think less of them. And I wanna invite you that without all five holistically, I think you run a dangerous spot to become a religious person that most people want to run from, not run towards. Fair? I'm gonna get into it and then you can evaluate it for yourself. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. The first thing that you've got to practice in a daily way is studying your Bible. Can I get an amen? Amen. Jesus called it the bread of life. It was daily bread for you. Listen to me. If you skip a day, Pastor Dan was just talking about it. Give up. We just fasted. We're asking you to fast again. You know when you miss a meal, you don't have to think about it. Can I get a yes? It's called hangry. You agitated. You like, don't talk to me. I miss my meal. And the reality is this, when your physical body is that hungry for physical nutrition, think about your spiritual body, how hungry it is for its nutrition. We got too many people who call themselves Christians that have no idea what the Word of God actually says. And so you're going through life being a Christian and yet easily deceived by TikTok preachers all day. You'd rather listen to them because they say it in a fun way than your pastor who has studied the Word of God so strongly, who wants to correct you, who knows you, who wants to guide you, but he's not telling you what you want to hear. I'm sure you already know this, but when the FBI trains their agents to understand counterfeit money, they don't show them the 10,000 versions of counterfeits. They teach them what a real US dollar looks like so they'll know when they see a counterfeit or the real thing. When you study the Word of God and you put it deep inside of your soul and you walk in it, you don't always have to know, like, I don't need to analyze what makes that counterfeit, but I promise you, I know that's counterfeit because that is not what this Word teaches out of the Word. This is why you got pastors and churches losing their minds. You're like, what is going on? Because they've gotten away from the Word. They took it as suggested and it's supposed to be directive. They're like, well, it's just suggestion. It's just, no, you're missing it. It is the directions of your soul, not suggestions for you to consider. I don't know how many of y'all don't use maps anymore. I have a problem not putting in my address even when I know where I'm going. Because in my mind, it's gonna be better because it knows what's going on than just me thinking I know what's going on. Are you with me? And maybe you're not like me, that's okay. But I know this, I am not good with directions. Pastor Dan tried to get me to come out to the stage here. I was going out back to the parking lot. I was all turned around. I'm like, I have no idea where I am right now. You need to put a GPS tracker on me because I'm just gonna get lost. And so I trust the map for the directions that are very clear on that map. There are some people who are assuming that the Bible is not the map of their life. And they're wondering why they keep getting lost over and over and over again because they keep dipping their toes in things that are not the Word of God. And I'm here to beg you, if you want to see transformational power in your life, you better learn this Bible. I'm telling you, the older I get, the more fuddy-duddy I get. I'm like, study your Bible. You know why? Because I keep seeing all these people getting totally deceived by things that I think are silly. I'm like, this is silly. What are y'all talking about right now? But it's because we love the idea of Christianity. We just don't want to put the work of a Christian. Like, we like the idea of like, oh yeah, Jesus loves me. I just don't know anything he ever said. but he loves me. And I'm here to encourage you. Discipline yourself. Get in the Word daily. It's never been easier. You can get an app and it will prompt it for you. You can do it. You just have to prioritize it. Study the Word of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Number two, if you want to see the transformational power begin, I believe you need to spend time every day in prayer and in worship. Now, this is coming from a ginger who cannot sing, okay? So I'm not talking about music. Music's a great vehicle to help you. But in all reality, I need to go on a journey every day of what prayer and worship represents, which is trust and surrender. The very first time the word worship is used in the Bible has nothing to do with music. It's when Abraham was taking his son up to sacrifice him because God said, sacrifice your son right now, give him to me, which it sounds crazy that God would ask him to do this, but God wanted to see what Abraham was gonna do. And Abraham says, God, I'm gonna give you obediently what I have. I'm gonna sacrifice it. And the Bible says that is the first moment of worship we see on this planet. So it's not about how good they sing, even though they sing really good. It's not about you singing a song with your lips, but your heart is far away. It's about you saying to God, I am taking a moment to listen to you, to slow down, to trust you, and to let you tell me where do I need to give a reasonable sacrifice unto you right now. Some of y'all are at work right now, and you got some people, like you got a boss that you think has a demon possessed in them. I get it. You know, I don't know if you're like me, every once in a while, I just bless water and I just throw it at people to see what happens. Are y'all gonna try that here? I've done it to my children, I don't care. Because sometimes they're so bad that I'm like, I don't know, there could be a demon trying to get in this child right now, let's just find out. All right, we're gonna deliver them right now. You ain't gonna ruin my life, I'm gonna cast that demon out of that child. Some of y'all are afraid to do it. Not me. And sometimes you got a thing going on at your work where you got a boss who feels like he's a spawn of Satan. And he's over here trying to fit you for destruction. Come on, somebody. And you're over here getting mad at him and wanting to gossip about him. You need to take a moment and say, no. I'm going to go get in with my God right now because the spirit in him is not greater than the spirit in me right now. And so I'm going to worship Jesus. I'm going to surrender myself. I'm going to say, God, use me in this moment. Thank you for the opportunity to be a light in this dark place right now. And I'm going to shine bright. And I'm not going to have to preach at him. I'm going to live it right now. And I'm here to encourage you that if you don't learn every day to find moments of Selah with God where you stop and you surrender and you say, search my heart like David said, tell me if there's anything that is not of you right now. Help me, God, surrender this area. I don't want to, but I will if you just keep helping me. You've got to every day make room for prayer and worship with God. When I was dating my wife, I was a youth pastor, so you had to be good. Come on, somebody. And we want to hang out. We want to spend time together. And every time we end up hanging out, we just end up sitting in my 2004 Chevy Trailblazer. Come on, who knows what I'm talking about right now? Can't catch me riding dirty, bro. This thing is heat, bro. Some of y'all don't get it. That's okay. And we would always end up in the church parking lot hanging out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're like, we're trying to be good. Let's just be around Jesus' house so we don't do nothing bad right now. And we would pull up and we would sit there and then we just end up listening to music. We just spend time listening to music. We just be talking, listening to music. Being in each other's presence got us to know one another. Some of y'all don't realize that just you need to spend time in the presence of God to get to know who he really is. You can't fake it. You gotta spend time with them. And you gotta just say, I'm showing up. Now listen, let's be honest. Some of y'all dudes up here are acting like, oh, I didn't do that with my wife, man. You know, she just came along. We just do whatever. Dude, you are just. Because you're in love, you're enamored. You wanted just to know everything about her. The same way we need to know everything about what God has to offer us as his creation. And you will not fully get that until you spend time with him in his presence. It's like if your phone's about to die, you're gonna find a charger somewhere. You gotta plug it in and say, God, I need time to get charged up in your presence. Third thing I need you to realize is this, if you want to experience transformation, I believe you've got to spend time having godly fellowship with other believers. There's gotta come a point where you take your mask off and somebody sees who you really are and it says, I love you enough to help you through this. I'm gonna be honest. I love that testimony we heard about her finding the rock women and just them being real and honest. And oh, this is how life happens. Like, I gotta tell you that we have got to have some people in our corners, because the right voices will equal the right choices. And do not forsake the gathering of one another, as some have already gotten in the habit of doing, Hebrews says. Like, you've got to realize that you need me and I need you, and together we become what God has called us to be. You have something and I have something. And here's the beauty of church. It takes people that don't look like each other, sound like each other, and from different generations. And under the banner of Jesus, we gather together in love and we learn from one another. I think it's the most underutilized muscle in the American church today. It's like, we are like, you know, I'm good. I'll give you like, I'm good. Like we got a little dab ups and we're like here and we got to go back to our thing. Like, don't worry about getting in my business. There was a community in Bible times where you couldn't hide and be somebody else somewhere else, but you had to work through your issues with people who loved you and wanted the best for you, because it was the best for our community. And we need to get back to authentic, godly fellowship. Because listen, I can't be my best self by myself. I can't be my best self by myself. I'm so grateful for Pastor Dan to call out greatness in me, that I would settle for less. And he goes, no, there's more for you than this. God's got higher plans for you than this. Don't you give up on what God is doing in your life right now. Someone's got to realize that you need some godly friends in the foxhole, that when things get hard, they're with you through the thick and the thin. Can I get a yes? Some of y'all don't need a new sermon. Some of y'all need a new circle. Ah, come on, somebody. Some of you are like, I just need a new sermon for Revelation. You need a new circle. You're hanging around the wrong people. You want to soar with the eagles? You've been flying with buzzards. You need to rise up a little bit. And I'm not saying you treat them poorly. You just remind yourself, they're my mission field. They're not the ones that I need to rest with. I need to love them, bless them, help them. But I need to rest with some people that are running the same track I'm running right now. I remember when I was in Bible college, right? And I just wanted some friends. I'm a new Christian. I don't know. I'm like cussing all the time. I don't know. You're not allowed to cuss. I'm like doing all kinds of stuff. And I don't understand really well. Nobody's explaining it to me, but everyone's judging the fact I don't know what I'm doing as a Christian. And I have this friend named Scotty, still one of my good friends to this day. He was the worship leader of the young adult ministry. And he was like, man, dude, I really believe in you. Do you want to join our worship team? Now, I make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Y'all know what I mean by that? Like, you should not microphone me singing. It's a problem. So he tries me on it. He's like, ooh, this boy cannot sing. Okay, you cannot be a singer. Okay, we got to have people come back. Okay, like, can't let you do that. And he's like, you know what? You ever play a cajon, a bongo, one of these things? And I was like, nope, but I can do it. And so I'm up here, and I'm on this worship team. I feel like I'm part of something now. First time ever. I'm up here. I'm like this. I'm like, oh, you ain't ever seen a white boy hit it like this. You're like, I'm spinning. I'm like, yeah, baby. I was loving it. I had no rhythm. I couldn't do nothing right. Everything was off rhythm. And this other guy who was on the team was like a music school guy. Like, he like went to school for music. He's like in his own brain, a big deal. He's like playing guitar. And he's like, this is a true story. He says, excuse me, you don't belong up here. I said, dude, let's go outside in the parking lot and find out who belongs where. But I was like, you know, you can't do that. You're not supposed to fight. I'm a new Christian. I'm not supposed to fight people. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like getting off the stage. And Scotty noticed, my friend, to this day. We laugh about it. And he goes, hey, dude, don't worry about him. He's cool. Doug, keep doing what you're doing. I didn't belong up there, but I needed to be with somebody who loved me. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's some of us right now that you're bringing somebody in. You're like, they're rough. They don't really belong. They're struggling. But you know what? They're showing up. And because they're showing up, why don't we make some room for them in our lives right now? Why don't we love them a little more? We need godly fellowship. We need time in his presence through prayer and worship. We need to study the word of God, yes? Fourth one, and I'm almost done, I got two more. We need to learn how to serve others. We have a selfish world. Man, we need a selfless church. We need a church that's willing to roll up their sleeves and say, hey, when I see a need, I'm gonna fill the need. When things are going sideways and everyone doesn't know what to do, I'm gonna stand up and say, hey, let me make a difference right now. We need people who are selfless and saying, Jesus said it best, I did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve. He actually came to serve others, and that is, he's a king choosing to serve people that are peasants. And yet we're over here like, no, I ain't got time to hold that door. I don't got time to serve them kids. I don't got time to see other people's needs. I'm busy. What if every morning you woke up and said, hey, Holy Spirit, whoever, wherever, however, put me on mission today. I don't know where it's, every morning I get up, I go somewhere. I don't know who I'm gonna meet, how it's gonna go, what's gonna happen. I just know I'm gonna serve people. I'm gonna love people. I'm gonna model the behaviors that Jesus showed me. And I never remember one day I was working at the office. You know, the devil likes to test you when you think that way, right? And I'm working at the office one day, and my wife calls me. Oh, my wife calls me. She says, hey, where you at? I said, you track my phone. You know exactly where I'm at. I'm at the office. She goes, oh, yeah. Hey, I need you to go to the bank. That is the worst place on the planet to go to. I love people who work at banks, but y'all's system is broken, okay? And she's like, go to the bank right by the office. I'm like, oh, baby, please, come on, can't you do it? She goes, I need you to go to the bank, go to the bank, get out what we need. Because we got kids in school, and they need cash for everything. Why can't we go cashless in these schools? I don't know. The kids need something for something. You got to get cash. So, all right, okay, so I go to the bank. I'm walking into the bank. I'm trying to get in. I'm thinking like a NASCAR pit crew. Like, I'm like, all right, we're going to time this thing. I'm going to get in here. I'm going to get out. I got to go somewhere. I got to do it. And I'm walking, and I'm going, and I'm walking into the bank like this. And I open up the bank door. You know how the bank door is like a glass door where you can kind of see behind you a little bit, right? And I go to open up the door, and I see this in the glass. I see this little old lady, this little somebody's grandma, and she's coming behind me. And I feel the Holy Spirit tell me right in this quick moment, hold the door for that lady. And I'm like, okay, sure, that's not a problem. That's not going to derail me. And I open up the door, and the glass is a liar because they're not as close as they look in the glass. When I open the door, follow me, I open the door, she is way over here. Camera people, follow me, please. And she sees me opening the door. And this is her pace when she's walking like this. And she makes eye contact with me, okay? She does one of these, and her pace does this. She don't pick it up at all. She's just gonna keep going. And I'm standing there holding this door, like with a crazy smile. You know the crazy smile? Like, and she's just looking at me, and I'm looking at her. And this is what's happening. And I am standing there, and I got all these crazy thoughts coming in my head right now. Because I'm like, I wanna do something bad to this lady because I just want her to hurry up. And I'm just standing at this door waiting for her. And she comes through, and then when she gets past me, she looks at me and she goes, and I'm just thinking I just want to fight her this whole time. And she looks at me and she goes, do you want to go ahead of me? Something that went in my head I'm not going to repeat. But what I said was, I might repeat it. I said, no, ma'am, you go ahead. In my head, I said, you've already ruined my day, so just go ahead and finish ruining it. So she's in front of me. She's taking her, and then she keeps turning. So she's in front of me, right? And she keeps turning around and looking at me like a side eye. She keeps looking at me. And I'm looking at her. She's looking at me. And she keeps side eyeing me. And I'm like, this woman really wants to fight me right now. Like, we about to do this. I'm like starting to get fired up. Like, we're going to do this thing. And then she says to me, this gets bad. She goes, can I say something to you? I'm like, what? I didn't do that, but I was like, what? What do you, yeah, what? She goes, my granddaughter just loves your church. She loves that you're her pastor. I know, I was about to fight her, dude. It would have been so bad. She's like, she just loves you. She just loves your sermon. She loves you. She's so grateful that you're a pastor. And I was like, oh my goodness, thank God I didn't say anything crazy. But in all reality, God used this crazy looking ginger to show a person of a different generation that the God that we serve is still in the business of serving other people. And I didn't know who she was, but God knew who she was, and God wanted to tell a story in that moment. And I wonder how many God stories are not happening in our lives because we're not willing to serve somebody else. I just wonder how many times you would be coming home going, you won't believe what just happened. You won't believe what God has just done. And my thing is this, I don't know what talent you have, I don't know what gifting you have, I don't know where you're at, but use what God has given to you. Be faithful in a little and watch him multiply it. Last one, I'm gonna be done with this. If my friend on the keyboard can come, we're gonna wrap this up. Number five, I believe that you need to learn how to be generous. Serving is one thing, that's God, I'm gonna give you my time and my talent. But there's also this thing that God has given to us called treasure. That I think for many Christians, because we've seen abuse in churches, we wanna villainize everybody. We say, well, I'm gonna withhold it. But all reality, you're withholding because you're selfish and you don't wanna trust God. You can use all kinds of other things to mask it. At the end of the day, you would rather hoard what you have instead of give it away. And the reality is this, you think you're gaining by hoarding, but you're actually losing. And you're not discovering the freedom God has for you because you're unwilling to trust God in this area, and you have not seen the blessing of God unfold because you keep holding back what God wants you to release. You're holding on to the seed and you're expecting it to grow a harvest. It will never grow a harvest in your hand. It will only grow a harvest when you let it go and put it into the soil. And the Bible is so clear in Malachi that if you have robbed God because you withheld the tithe from the storehouse, you might say, what is that? That's the house of God. People find the goodness of God by, when they go through crisis, and when people are falling apart, many times they'll say, we need to get our butts back in. And if the house of God is not taken care of, there's not a church for them to get back to. And someone's got to realize, hey, I know it's not impressive to pay for a light bill, but my goodness, that light bill is putting light on a stage for someone to hear the gospel today. And I want to be a part of the story because I don't need to be selfish in my generosity. I need to be selfless in my generosity. And to say, God, forgive me for holding back and actually living under a curse, as your word says. God, let me trust you and let me just see if I can outgive you. Because your word says, I cannot outgive you. I see people, go back to what I said, if you're not careful, I believe you can become a Pharisee in one of those areas. And I've seen it play out so many times. You become a Bible thumper and you just yell at everybody with scripture. You hold up big signs to say God hates you because you're so fixated on the word of God in such a way that you weaponize it against other people. If you're not careful, you become so into spending time in the presence of God that you become so into this thing that you actually don't practice anything else. And you're so heavenly consumed that it's like, hey, wait, we're still here on planet Earth. We gotta reach some people. We can't just stay in this space. We've actually gotta get out of it every once in a while and reach people that are broken. And sometimes if you're not careful, those people who get really into that stuff become kind of strange to people around them, and they're not reaching anyone, and they're more fixated on internal than external. You know, if you're not careful, godly fellowship turns really quickly into a cruise ship instead of a battleship, where all you want is just to have the gossip fellowship, not the godly fellowship. You know, I've seen it play out where people get like Mary and Martha, where they're so consumed with just serving that they miss the fact that Jesus is right here and they should sit at his feet. I've also seen people just take money and they use God because really the God they have is money. And they weaponize it in such a way that you need to give to get, in such a way that turns into such cringiness for people that are not followers of Jesus, and it's wrong. But collectively, I believe that these five ways, these five practices, these five behaviors allows you daily to say, God, transform me. Let me not be selfish. Let me not be about myself. Let me be about the world around me. Let me know your word and let me spend time in your presence. And let me reach into a dark world with a hand full of love and grace to help pull people out of the hell they've been living in and help them find the heaven that I found in myself. I would not be here today if some godly men didn't walk with me and teach me these ways. And I pray for the people that are connected to your story, that God is inviting you to reach, for you to disciple, for you to love. The beauty of a church like this is you never have to go look for people that need help. They're right here. Because we're a church that reaches out to the lost at all cost. And I want to encourage you, be the moms and dads that God is calling you to be. I promise your Christianity will not feel boring. It will feel life-giving. Can I pray for you? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this time with this incredible church family that I love so deeply. God, I pray nothing but good and blessings on them, even through the trials and the tribulations, that they would know that you are purifying them as gold and that you are building diamonds on the inside. God, I pray for every person that showed up here today struggling with their faith, struggling with their journey, and they're questioning, where are you right now? Have you abandoned me? God, I pray, Lord, that they would realize that you are ever close in their time of need. That even when we don't feel you, we can trust what your word says, that you have never left us nor forsaken us. So God, I pray for every person who's struggling here today, and I pray for every person who honestly, if they would be transparent, maybe have found a little bit of a rut in their faith. They're a little bored maybe, that maybe they're feeling a little restless. God, let your final words, Jesus, to go and make disciples be such a cry in our soul. Let us do that and teach those people to obey all that you have commanded. Make us disciple makers. Let us live a transformed life. So God, I pray for each person. With your head bowed and eye closed, just keep it there for a second. I do want to give you the same opportunity that was given to me when I was 18 years old to encounter a God that I didn't know but knew me. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to embarrass you, but I do want to know who you are. I'm going to give you an opportunity to raise your hand and say yes to Jesus. If you're here and you don't know him, I'm going to invite you to reach your hand up and say, that's me. I want to say yes to him. I don't want fear to paralyze you. I want to give your faith movement. And if you're here saying, I want to say yes to him, I believe this, that we all come back to God through surrender. That when we lift our hands, it's the international sign of surrender. You might not speak the same language as your enemies, but if they put a gun at you, you'd lift your hands when you surrender. You say, no, don't shoot. And you might be saying, what are you talking about, enemies? You're talking about a God who loves me. He does. But see, our sin separated us from God's love. And Jesus made a way where there was no way. So when I get to three, if that's you, I just want you to slip your hand up and say, would you pray with me? Lift it up. And one, two, three, if that's you, just slip up your hands. Slip them up. God bless you. God bless you. We see your hands. God bless you. Would everyone do me a favor with these hands that are raised? Would everyone stand to their feet in this moment? And if you're here and you just raise that hand, I'm going to ask you to do the same thing I did. I'm going to ask you to meet me down front. I saw some hands go up, and I want to invite you. I want to pray with you, and I want to help you. And we want to give you the resources that we believe will help you on this journey. But I want you just to make your way right down front. And we're going to pray. And we're going to see God move. I already see those. Come on up. Yeah, that's you. We love you. We're going to put our hands together. We're going to celebrate you. Come on. You're coming to family. Come on down front. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, if that's you, just make your way down front. Say yes to him.
Light of Jesus Christ, come to the altar.
God bless you. Amazing. We're so proud of you. Hey, we're going to pray together. And then after we pray together, our friend's over here, he's waving at us right here. We're going to lead you over here. We're going to give you some resources. We're going to help you on your journey. So we're going to join you out loud and we're going to pray together with you. And here's what I want you to know. The Bible says it like this. If you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart that Jesus was resurrected from the grave by God, you shall be saved. There's nothing you could do to earn it. There's nothing you did to deserve it. But God saw you here tonight. And he brought you to this church because he loves you so much. So would everyone with these people, would you repeat this prayer? Would you say, dear Jesus, I ask you to be Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sin. Give me a fresh start. I confess that I need you and I make you Lord. Teach me how to live for you all the days of my life. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. Can we put our hands together? Guys, would you follow our friends over here? We're going to get you some resources. God bless you. We love you guys. Come on, don't be bashful. God bless you. We love you. Hey, Pastor Dan, thank you so much. I love you guys, Rock Church. You're amazing.
Well, hey, do you guys love Doug? Wasn't that good? Anybody get anything out of the word of the Lord tonight? I love you guys. Would you lift your hands to the Lord and let me bless you as we go? Father, these are your people called by your name. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare out loud on purpose and in faith that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at the Rock, where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.